From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. In the Bay Area, real estate is expensive and in high demand. We know this. Facebook has been planning an expansion in Menlo Park in Palo Alto that will bring thousands of new employees to its headquarters and maybe push current members of the community out. To address those complaints, Facebook is putting some real money on the line. On Friday, the company announced a plan to spend $20 million to help residents deal with the potential displacement. A generous amount of money, but can it help the long-term impact that tech companies are having on the region? Laura Cusisto is a Wall Street Journal reporter on housing and the economy. She joins me in the studio. Laura, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit more about the details of this particular proposal?
The vast majority, about $18.5 million of it, will go to what they call a catalyst fund. And so the idea is that Facebook puts a bunch of money into this fund and then local community groups can find good projects. And this, and combined with other sources of funds, can sort of go to building new housing. They're also going to do some job training. And then the most immediate thing that they're going to do is they're going to give money so that if someone is in danger of being evicted, they can, you know, get legal assistance. They can continue paying their rent to help be able to stay there. And that kind of gives people immediate protection against being displaced.
Is that job training for working at Facebook for some of these people who live in this community?
So, yeah, it's not going to be like, you know, the next, you know, person who's going to be writing code, but at least it's helping connect some people who are in some cases, a pretty economically depressed community actually benefit from all the wealth that's coming into their area.
Who is Facebook really trying to appease here?
So, of course, this is not entirely out of the goodness of their heart. California has very strict laws around development, and it's very, very easy to sue. And so as part of this, these community groups, a lot of whom do kind of represent lower income, middle income people, waive their rights to sue. And so that gives Facebook a certain cushion in trying to build this development without getting tied up in lawsuits for years and years.
Are there examples of this kind of arrangement working elsewhere?
It works and it doesn't. $20 million is a lot of money,
yeah,
undeniably. But in the grand scheme of things, they're talking about having a shortage of some 22,000 affordable units, a shortage that's only going to keep growing.
Right.
Even if you build 22,000 units, you're not going to solve that problem.
How might you?
Well, so I think one of the interesting things, local officials in Silicon Valley and San Francisco have tried and sort of experimented with the idea of saying, hey, your technology companies, you've disrupted all of these other industries. You've solved all of these other problems that have plagued us for years and years. Why can't you do the same thing for housing?
And you mean just throwing $20 million at it won't work necessarily? They need to actually build something that might solve the problem?
Yeah, like maybe isn't there some way, you know, housing, there's basically been no innovation for 30 years. Can't you come up with something that would make it faster and cheaper for us to build houses?
Laura Cusisto is housing and economics reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Laura, thanks for coming by.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Background sound can tell you a lot about your environment, whether you're a human or a computer. It's like that great scene in the hacker movie Sneakers from 1992, where a blind guy helps his friends retrace a trip from the night before by navigating with sound.
It sounded like a cocktail party.
Great. Now we gotta look for a cocktail party on the other side of the railroad track.
Stay on Crescent. Get off the reservoir.
Okay.
There's a cocktail party at the reservoir.
Yeah.
In this case, that cocktail party was just geese being heard from the trunk of a car. It's a great scene that's all about listening to your surroundings and understanding sound. Well, the hacker character there, Whistler, is in some ways being replaced by a computer. Researchers at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, CSAIL, have been training algorithms to identify different kinds of audio by feeding them video footage, like this.
Good one. You're a busy boy.
That would be a dog, obviously. It turns out it's easier to train computers with video than train them with a ton of sounds that humans have to tabulate and say, this is a dog. One of the researchers, Youssef Itar, is a postdoctoral associate at CSAIL. He is presenting his research today at a conference in Barcelona, Spain. Youssef, thanks for chatting.
Thank you.
Your work is sort of an academic exercise here, but what kind of impact might your research have on real business going forward?
So our research is actually a basic but fundamental improvement in natural sound understanding. For instance, it could be autonomous cars. It could understand if there's an ambulance coming, or it could be handheld devices like smartphones. It can actually understand if you're in a classroom and act accordingly. It can silence itself
The ambulance example that you're talking about here with self-driving cars, the idea is that a self-driving car might be driving down a street, and just like a human would, it could hear an ambulance approaching the intersection and it could stop.
Exactly. And the vision is not always available. Like, as humans, we use both vision and sound. But most of the self-driving cars right now, they're mostly using their visual output and depth understanding. But you don't always see the ambulance coming. You hear it mostly.
Right. And this is what's interesting to me, because there's something kind of animal about what you're doing here, right? I mean, humans and other animals learn how to survive and contextually understand their world by associating sound with sight. And this process that you're doing, what does it mean for the future of how machines learn?
As humans, we actually have this ability of cross-modal perception. We can understand things in both visually and audio and all these different modalities. But for machines, they also have to acquire all these recognizing and perception abilities so that they can naturally communicate with us. Robots, self-driving cars, or any machine that will interact with you, it's really important that it can understand in all these different perceptual sensory channels.
Youssef Aitar is postdoctoral research associate at MIT's CSAIL. Youssef, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.